Now, the routine, we like to recite the Mangalacharna prayers. Those are the beautiful prayers you'll find in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. If you have not yet memorized them, they're on page one, first page of the introduction. Those who know can recite. And we recite this because Krishna says that one of the austerities of speech is the recitation of Vedic literature. It purifies our consciousness. It purifies the collective consciousness, the atmosphere of the world, which is definitely, definitely necessary. So let us recite. First, we recite Srila Prabhupada's pranam prayers. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschachadeshatarne Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Shtapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yatapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Mitam Tang Sajivam Sarvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Mitamsha Hey Krishna, Karuna, Sindhu, Dhina, Bandho, Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika, Kanta, Radha, Kanta, Namostate, Tapta, Kanchana, Gorangi, Radhe, Vrindabhaneshwari, Prishabhanu, Sute, Devi, Pranamami, Haripriye, Pancha, Kopaturu, Vyashta, Kripa, Sindhu, Me, Evacha, Patitanang, Pavane, Bhyo, Vaishnave, Bhyo, Namo, Namaha, Jai Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Dittananda, Shiadvaita, Gadadhar, Shivasadi, Gorvaktavinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So thank you very much for attending the Sunday evening program here in New Dwarka, the Los Angeles Temple of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. As Subhas mentioned, today is recognized as Father's Day, which is just an attempt to commercialize the relationship of father and children. Now in Kali Yuga, they commercialize everything. There's Mother's Day, Father's Day, Boss's Day, President's Day, so many days. And the whole idea is get on your computer or go to the store and spend some money. But the relationship of father and child is an eternal relationship. It exists here in the material world because it is there in the spiritual world. As Suvas also said, Krishna is the Supreme Father. We know that in Vedic literature, they recognize seven mothers: Adi Mata, Guru Patni, Brahmani, Raja Patnika, Denu Datri Tata Prithvi. Seven mothers are recognized, and not just recognized means that you should honor them, all of these mothers. Not just that, yes, I recognize and then I go about my business. The recognition means you should honor, at least. So Adi Mata means the mother who gave you birth. Every one of us is sitting here because of our mothers. Our mothers gave us birth. Guru Patni, the wife of any teacher, guru, that person is considered to be mother also. Brahmani, the wife of any brahmana, is considered to be mother. Raja Patni, the wife of the king or the queen, in other words, or nowadays we have president and first lady. Here in America, we make everything into kind of a little joke. There's the POTUS, President of the United States, and Flutus, First Lady of the United States. So everybody recognizes that the president or the king's wife is also important. And then Dhenu. What is Dhenu? A cow. Yes, this is not so recognized. Everybody recognizes First Lady, but who recognizes that the cow is the mother? Nobody recognizes. And this is not an accident that in human society, since time immemorial, once you're weaned from your mother's milk, you are then, for the rest of your life, taking cow's milk. That was always the standard. Nowadays, they find so many reasons not to do that because they want to kill the cow and eat the flesh. Or they become vegan and they have some mistaken understanding that it's wrong to take the cow's milk. But no, this is an eternal truth, that the cow is given that role of transforming grass, which we can't eat, into milk, which is a miracle food. When you think of it, milk is nothing but blood transformed. But when you drink milk, you don't feel like you're drinking blood. No, this is God's arrangement, that grass is eaten by the cow and miraculously transformed into milk, which becomes such a essential and wonderful food that human beings can take for life. Especially children and old men, Prabhupada used to say. Those two classes must take milk. Children must have milk, and old men must have milk. And everybody else too. Milk you transform into cheese, butter, ghee, yogurt, so many wonderful foods. Again, it's nothing but the cow's blood transformed. But when you eat a piece of cheese, you don't feel like you're eating blood. Nobody wants to drink blood, at least no sane person. But that's what you're doing when you eat milk, any kind of milk food, but that's God's arrangement. So Denu Datri, Datri means a nurse. Anybody who helps to rear you, anybody who nurses you, just considered mother. And then Prithvi, the earth, just like we say Mother Earth. But there are also many fathers. As we said, so many of you here are fathers. Put your hand up who are the fathers in the house. Okay. Well, at least a few. But every one of us, again, takes birth because of father. There are no, at least as far as I know, that nobody here that took birth just mother. Some virgin birth. We all, a combination of mother and father, and then the child comes out. But before that, there is the, above that, we should say, there is the Divine Father. And again, this father-child relationship is one of the eternal relationships that are manifest in the spiritual world. When Krishna comes, here we have Mother Yashoda giving Krishna a bath, Abhishek. And who is Yashoda's husband? Nanda Maharaj. So Nanda Maharaj actually played the role of foster father, but Krishna's real parents were Vasudeva and Devaki. And we always, sometimes we mispronounce that. There's Vasudeva, and Krishna is known as Vasudeva, which means the son of Vasudeva. So Vasudeva and Devaki were, you could say, his birth parents. So Krishna's showing. I mean, God can obviously appear in the world any way he wants. But when he comes in this world, he comes and he accepts particular devotees to act as his mother and father. Because that relationship of mother, father to the child is supposed to be a sweet relationship. It's supposed to be very sweet. But is it fathers? We have some fathers in the house. Is it always sweet with the offspring? I know for a fact. My next door neighbors, they have two very young children. One is like, I think, 16, 18 months. The other one is like approaching 3 years old. And literally, from the time they wake up to the time they go to bed, nothing but screaming and yelling. And no, no, no. Whatever the parents ask, no. Give them something, they throw it. So from the beginning, it can be very, very trying. And unfortunately, that tension can build to the point where the unspeakable happens, like happened recently in Santa Monica. The family had moved in about 20 years ago, the neighbor said. And the mother and father divorced. They had two sons. One son went with the mother. The other one stayed with the father. And recently, the son that went with the mother came back with guns. And it just so happened, the other brother was visiting that day. He didn't even live with the father anymore, but he happened to be visiting. Apparently, the boy went there to kill the father. But his brother came, so he killed him too. Killed the father. This is just how bad relationships can get in this material world, where your own offspring wants to kill you. And actually, factually does it. Went there and killed his father, killed his brother, and went around on a shooting spree. Killed a few other people. So in the spiritual world, these kind of things are notable by their absence. Everything there is based on love, sweetness. Everything there is sweet. So when somebody assumes the role of Krishna's father and mother, there's no question of this kind of atrocity. And all other relationships, the relationship of master and servant, the relationship of friends, of lover, everything there is based on love and it's sweet. So, the Krishna consciousness movement means that we're being taught to revive our love for the Supreme Father Krishna. We're being taught to revive our love for the Supreme Father Krishna. So first I'm going to read one verse from the 14th chapter and then we'll have a little discussion. But keeping in mind again, that we have the birth father, person that we, by whose agency we came into this world. Everybody has the Supreme Father. And as human beings, we're meant to have at least one other father. And that is the Guru. The Guru, that person who gives us spiritual knowledge, that person is also considered to be father. One takes birth by one's birth mother, father, and then we're supposed to take a second birth by the father is the Guru, and who is the mother? The Vedic literature. Just like generally speaking, the mother takes the lead in instructing the child. Because generally speaking, mother spends more time with the child than anybody else. So the mother's always telling, this is this, this is that, do this, don't do that. And I know in my case, my mother was a school teacher, and after dealing with other people's children all day, when she came home, she was generally kind of angry. So we didn't mess around. Father was very lenient, but mother was like, do this, do that. So the mother usually takes the role of instructing the children. And so the Vedas give instruction, and the father, the guru, explains these instructions and puts us on the road back to home, back to Garden. So we're going to read one verse from the 14th chapter, where Krishna declares himself to be everybody's father. And then we'll have a little discussion. So that's, for those who have the book, I think in this volume it is, yes, so fourth verse of the 14th chapter, is entitled The Three Modes of Material Nature. So Krishna says, many of you know this verse, Sarva Yonishu Kanteya, Murtayak Sambhavantiya, Tasam Brahma Mahajonir Ahang Bija Pradapita. Srila Prabhupada translates this verse as follows. It should be understood that all species of life, O son of Kunti, are made possible by birth in this material nature, and that I am the seed-giving father. Please repeat. It should be understood that all species of life, O son of Kunti, are made possible by birth in this material nature, and that I am the seed-giving father. So Srila Prabhupada writes a very short purport. In this verse, it is clearly explained that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the original father of all living entities. The living entities are combinations of the material nature and the spiritual nature. Such living entities are seen not only on this planet, but on every planet, even on the highest, where Brahma is situated. Everywhere, there are living entities. Within the earth, there are living entities, even within water and within fire. All these appearances are due to the mother, material nature, and Krishna's seed-giving process. The purport is that the material world is impregnated with living entities who come out in various forms at the time of creation according to their past deeds. So, the first point being made is that Krishna is the father of all species. We know we have some fathers in the room, but I'm pretty sure that your offspring are human. You haven't given birth to any birds or snakes or ants. But Krishna can do that. Krishna is the father of all living entities. And he speaks to them. He understands the language. That's one of Krishna's 64 qualities that are mentioned in the Vedas, is that he speaks all languages. He can speak to all. He understands what the birds are saying, what the ants are saying, everybody. Because he's their father. Father, he understands everyone. So, if we accept that Krishna, God, is the father of everyone, then we should treat everyone like a brother, a sister. That is the import. That is the purport. Not that human beings are important and the other animals are not. Not that at all. We should see them as our brothers and sisters and treat them accordingly. They have rights to exist just like we do. Very simple to understand. But the more we become covered with ignorance by distancing ourselves from our Supreme Father, then we don't see that fact. We don't see that fact. This morning, Srila Prabhupada gave a very heavy lecture on this point, how ignorance prevents you from seeing God. Prevents you from seeing God. Or you can put it the other way, the more we distance ourselves from God, then the more ignorant we become, and we don't see these very simple points like this. Like some religions, they say, there's one Son of God. But yet, everybody prays to Him, O Father, give us this. So, why are you praying to me as Father if I'm not your Father? If I only have one Son? If somebody comes up to you on the street and says, O Father, you say, get out of here, I'm not your Father. So if God only has one Son, then why is everybody calling Him Father? Why is everybody trained to call Him Father? No, we're all children of God. We're all children, not that God only has one Son. Now, some sons may be purer than others in their relationship with God. They've never turned away from God. They retain the love, original love that they have for God. Whereas many of us, if not all of us, we've turned away from God. We don't want, just like we see. People ask sometimes, if God is the original Father and everything is based on love in the spiritual world, why would I leave? But we see it happen all the time. A husband has a very loving and attentive wife and still he strays. He goes after somebody else or vice versa. Nowadays, more and more you see that. Formerly, 50, 100 years ago, it was, you never hardly heard of a woman straying away from the marriage. But nowadays it's commonplace. Both parties are running around. So people do that by their own free will. By our own free will, we create a mess. We have to admit that. And this needs to be understood clearly later on in, actually the previous chapter, in the 13th chapter, Krishna points out that, purusha sukha dukha nam bhoktitre hetur uchate, that the sukha, happiness and the dukkha that you find in your life are created by you. Don't blame other people for your misery. Don't blame other people for your misery. This was what this boy didn't understand. Some or other, he was miserable in life, and he was blaming his father for that. He was blaming his father, therefore he went back and killed him. But people should understand from the very beginning, you are in this situation by your own creation. And many times when I speak in college, I bring up this point, that children stump their parents when there's something going on and they don't like, and the child says to the parent, well, I didn't ask to be born, did I? And the parent goes, well, I guess you didn't. No, you did. By your previous karma, by your previous activity, the parents that you have were selected for you. It's not an accident. You're getting exactly what you deserve. Having parents mean the parents have a certain amount of wealth, a certain amount of everything, material and spiritual knowledge, everything, a certain amount. And you're putting that situation by your karma. It's not an accident that somebody's born in Beverly Hills with a certain set of parents and somebody else is born somewhere else in a less affluent situation. But it doesn't mean that the person who's born into affluence is going to live forever. They're going to die like everybody else. So, you know, you can't judge just by that. These are indicators of good karma, but just because you've taken birth in a good situation doesn't mean that you're going to turn out good. We see so many horrible people come out of wealthy situations. And just the opposite, somebody born in very, very meager situation, then they grow to be nice people. So, don't blame other people, just like we don't go around blaming anyone for the happiness that we get, right? We think I deserve it, I deserve even more than that. When something good happens in my life, I don't go around blaming anybody for that. So why should I blame anybody for the unhappiness that comes to me? It's my creation, but because we're not trained in a very simple law of karma from birth, we don't see the connection between the things that we do and the reaction that comes to us. I've told this story many times, but it's worth thinking about. Sometimes karma is instant. I had a friend in New York of Armenian descent who had a cousin who was living in Arizona. And this man was such an anti-environmentalist, you could say, that his fun in life was getting drunk and going out and shooting down the saguaro cactus. You know, these cactus that grow to like 15, 16 feet tall. When they're that tall, that means they're about 300, 400 years old. Just see how rotten to go and blow away a cactus just because you get pleasure out of doing it. So one day he did the same thing, got drunk, went out, pulled the trigger, and the thing fell forward and killed him. So that's instant karma. Do something and the reaction comes immediately. But quite often you don't see the connection. You're walking down the street and something like almost happened to me one day. I was walking down 34th Street in New York City, Manhattan, and from way up, you know, most of the buildings there are very high. Somebody's flower pot came falling down and just missed me. So if that had fallen on my head, I'd have to take it as my karmic reaction. Maybe I left a flower pot in another life that fell and hit somebody like that. So we should see the things that happen in life are not accidental. It's by our own creation. Sometimes in life, early in life, in school, you're mean to somebody in high school. And then the person goes on to be a very, very big business magnate or something, and you try to get a job in a company. And you may have forgotten how mean you were to that person in high school or grade school, but they didn't forget, and therefore you don't get the job. And you don't make the connection again. So sometimes the reaction comes way down the road, maybe even another lifetime. But we have to be trained in seeing this law of karma, that The good and the bad that happens materially is my own creation. What we have been given, though, is an opportunity to take advantage of the mother, the Vedas, and our father, Guru, to get out of this karmic situation once and for all, to go back to that place, the kingdom of God, where we have nothing but loving relationships. Here, every relationship that we establish, father and child, servant and master, friends, lovers, everything is fraught with misfortune. That's just the nature of this place. It's not surprising. The material world means misery and temporary existence. Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam. Don't try to be happy here. It's temporary. So even if you get those things that you think are going to make you happy, you're not going to be able to hold on to them. It's only a matter of time before they're taken away. And it's full of misery. Every single relationship that you try to establish, like those parents, they gave birth to those two sons. They weren't thinking that 20 years from now, 24 years from now, one of them is going to kill me. He wasn't thinking like that. He was trying to establish a happy home. But the home broke up, and 20-something years later, the boy comes back and kills the father. So this is the nature of this material world. Everything here is full of danger, potentially is going to make us miserable. So we don't just concentrate on what's happening materially. We have to see beyond that. We have to see beyond that to our eternal existence, our eternal relationship. This relationship with God is eternal. It cannot be broken, just like your relationship with your parents cannot be broken. No matter how you dislike them, they're your parents. You cannot change that. You cannot say, well, I don't like this father, I'm going to collect somebody else as my father. No. There's one father, one mother that brought you into this world. And that's it. That's it. And the father has a very, very strong relationship, responsibility to the offspring. And if we don't fulfill that, then we can't be surprised if some bad reaction comes along. And that responsibility is that you should be determined, Prabhupada said, that if I give birth to a child, that child is going to be trained to the best of my ability to become Krishna conscious and get out of this material world and go back to the spiritual world. That is your prime responsibility. Not just putting bread on the table and a roof over the head. That goes without saying. But beyond that, one has a responsibility to consciousness for their good and for your good also. Because if some or other, you don't make it back to Godhead, but if your son makes it back to God, or your daughter becomes a pure devotee, then you will be benefited. We just learned that in the seventh canto we're studying in the morning, Srimad Bhagavatam. Prahlad prayed to Lord Nrsingadevan. Lord Nrsingadevan wanted to give him some benediction. He said, if you want to benedict me, then release my father. He was such a horrible person, I know. He tried to kill me. Just see the father-son relationship. The boy was just 5 years old. And his only crime was that he wanted to worship God instead of worshiping his father. And for that, the father wanted to kill him. Not just wanted to, tried to kill him in so many ways. This is the nature of the material world. Even if you're innocent, somebody will try to kill you. What to speak of if you're a rascal, which most of us are. We don't take birth in this world because we're saints. We take birth in this world because we have rascal tendencies. And the most rascal tendency we have is to want to turn our back on the Supreme Father, God, who's giving us everything. Everything you've ever had in the past, everything that you have now, everything that you will get in the future is coming from God. There may be some agent, some boss who's giving you a paycheck or some birth father who's giving you allowance, whatever. But the real source is God, Krishna. And so we have to be trained to see that and worship God. And in this age, worship of God has been made very, very simple. Very simple. You don't have to be a big scholar, PhD. You don't have to be very erudite. You don't have to be very learned. You don't have to be very wealthy. You don't have to be very beautiful. Just repeat after me. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Rama. Hare Hare. Hare Hare. How difficult is that? It's not very difficult. Anybody can do it. You have a tongue, two ears, you can chant Hare Krishna individually on your beads. My beads are here. 108 beads on the string, you chant. Try to chant in the beginning at least one round every day. Later on, as you become more practiced, the recommended minimum is 16 rounds a day. Takes only 2 hours, 2.5 if you're a little slow. Everybody can give that. That's what Krishna is asking from you. Primary. Like Subhash was saying, if you have money, you can donate for festivals and stuff, fine. But the main thing Krishna is asking you to do is chant Hare Krishna every day. Where is the difficulty? We're chanting anyway. Just like now, room is kind of empty because some people are watching the NBA championships, I know. Right? People say they don't like organized religion, but they like organized sports. Isn't it? Right? Nobody goes, very few people go down to, you know, Venice Beach to watch unorganized sports. People just playing pickup basketball. No. They want to go home and watch organized sports on the TV. So they like organization, but they don't like organized religion. It's another form of rascaldom. Prabhupada was saying this morning, if you want good results, there has to be organization. It has to be a leader. It's natural. So Krishna is the supreme leader, the supreme organizer. And all he's asking from you is just chant my names every day. We're chanting anyway. We are chanting anyway. We're chanting, again, some sports star's name or some movie star's name or the president's name. Or we're chanting every day. We're chanting somebody's name. Take a little time, a few minutes, a few hours to chant Krishna's name. You'll be eternally benefited. Eternally benefited. There's no loss, only gain. There's no loss. Because those 2 hours, what are you going to do with those 2 hours anyway? Sleep a little longer, you know, hang out and gossip. You know, that's basically what people do. But just give up the tendency for 2 hours and just recite Krishna's name. And if possible, after chanting meditatively on the beads, come and chant congregationally. Come to the temple. Chant with other devotees. It's so nice. It takes a little while to get a taste for the meditative chanting on the beads. But it's so easy to chant, get a taste chanting congregationally. You come, somebody's leading nicely. You dance, you chant in front of the deities. So easy, process. But it's very, very powerful. Because gradually, we will lose this ignorance that's preventing us from manifesting the natural love that we have for the Supreme Father. It's like we're shocked when the regular father-son relationship is broken and so badly broken that the son wants to kill the father. Or vice versa. Almost every day we hear some father killing the children also. This is the nature of this material world. Still it's shocking. Even though it happens so frequently, still we're shocked every time it happens. The son kills the father, the father kills the children. But it happens again because we've disconnected ourselves from the Supreme Father, Krishna. So one of the benefits of reconnecting with Krishna is that automatically we start to repair all the other broken relationships that we have. We start to have a very nice relationship with the birth father, with our friends, with our siblings. Everything falls into place logically and naturally when we reconnect with the Supreme Father Krishna. So on this Father's Day, let's remember Krishna first and foremost. Yes, you can remember your birth father. You should honor birth father, birth mother. And honor the guru for sure, those who already have accepted spiritual master. And respect everyone. Why should we disrespect anyone? Again, if we realize and accept that God is the father of everyone, it's the beginning of loving relationships with everyone. But if you don't have that, then all you see are differences. I'm black, she's white, you know, this person's rich, I'm poor, I want this, I want that, and this person's in my way, and this person's my rival, etc. You just see problems everywhere you look. When you don't see that God is the Supreme Father, taking care of all of us. Nityo nityanam, chaitana chaitananam, eko bahunam yo vidadati kama. And the Vedas inform us that we're all eternal, but amongst all the eternal beings, there's one chief, supreme eternal being. Chaitana chaitananam, we're all conscious to a certain degree, but amongst all conscious beings, there's one supreme conscious being. We may be conscious of each other to a little degree, but I don't really know the pains and pleasures of your body and vice versa. But God, Krishna, knows the pains and pleasures of everyone's body. He knows exactly what's going on in your body, and my body, everybody's body. He's the chief conscious person. And then what is the relationship between that chief conscious, that chief eternal, and everybody else? Eko bahunam yo vidadati kama. And he's maintaining all of us. And again, sometimes we forget that. We think that the boss is maintaining us. We work in some company, they give us a paycheck, then we go to Vons and Ralphs and shop. No. But what's really maintaining your body is the foodstuffs that you eat. And that you cannot manufacture in a factory. And when it's scarce, no paycheck can buy it. So many times in so many parts of the world, people have experienced that. Where because of difficulty, the farmers are holding on to whatever they produce. They're not selling it in the market. And people come with millions of rupees or dollars or Deutschmarks or whatever. And they want to buy a loaf of bread, and the farmer will not sell them. So you starve. In spite of having so much money. So it's not the money that's keeping you alive. It's the food. And if you don't have food, if somebody doesn't produce food, if God doesn't give the seed, as Krishna says here, Aham Bija Pradapita, I am the seed-giving father. If he doesn't give the seed for the apples, the seed for the cauliflowers, the seed for the strawberries, the raspberries, if he doesn't give those seeds, then you don't eat. And even if you have the seed, if he doesn't send the rains to make them grow, just like recently, you know, there was a pretty interesting story on the internet I read that there's been an extensive and prolonged drought in certain parts of Africa, the Sahel. And the scientists have been studying for a long time, wondering why no rains are falling in this region, which traditionally had enough rain in the past. And you know what they discovered? You know, this is why they say, science gives and science takes. Through science, they discovered the aerosol can, right? But those fluorocarbons that they release in the atmosphere, and there's so much of it released in the industrialized parts of the world, when they go up in the atmosphere, they attract the moisture that used to be in other parts of the world. So, because of the release of these gases in Europe, a lot of rain that used to fall in Africa gets attracted to Europe. And we see what's been happening in Europe lately. Many places flood and there gets so much rain. And then other parts of the world that used to get rain, they don't get rain. So we screw things up with our so-called science. We give so much importance to the scientists because they give us TVs and nice-looking cars and stuff like that. But they're messing up the world. What the world really needs, again, is just simple agrarian-based lifestyle. This is going on for hundreds of thousands of years in the past. No problem. Everywhere around the world, Africa, Europe, America, people are depending on agrarian lifestyle and living nicely. But then the intelligent so-called class of people come and they destroy everything. Cut down the trees, pave over the land, build all these skyscraper buildings, and they think, well, we're so advanced. So advanced. Until you're living on the 108th floor and the power gets cut. And you have to walk down 108. It happens. I travel extensively in Europe, in parts of former Yugoslavia especially. And that's what happened. When the Civil War came, people were living on the very nicely and proudly living on the 20th story. When there was no more power, they have to walk up and down 20 flights every day. So this is the, you know, result of our scientific advancement. So Krishna says, give up all this nonsense. Simply take shelter of me. I am the Supreme Father. And I am benignly inclined. This is one of the things that you have to accept. If you accept that you God, you say you believe in God, then God is all good. There's no bad. Not like the material father may like you one day and not like you another day. Not like that. God is all good, and he's benignly disposed to all of his children, not just the human ones, the ants, the birds, the fish. God is good for everyone. And if we simply follow God's simple program, everything will work out nicely. Okay? Thank you very much for your kind attention. Any questions or comments before you go and eat God's food? And here we know that it's God's food, because we offer it to him, and we accept it as God's mercy, prasadam. So any questions on any of these points? Okay. Gantara Chiman Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaura Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.